Okay, we're going to begin now the seventh parak of Shabbos.
There's a lot of noise on the line, Alexander.
Who's not? There's noise on the line?
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't hear any noise from around me, so I'm not sure. But I guess if other people don't mind muting themselves, then, again, unmute yourself if you have a question, then we'll do it that way.
My phone's on mute the whole time. I keep it on mute unless I have a question. It's on mute the whole time, so my phone's quiet.
Okay. Okay, so now we're going to begin the seventh parak of Shabbos. So now, up until now, we've been dealing with, so we started with the halachas of carrying on Shabbos, because as we said, that's a very fundamental halacha. It's one that people do more commonly than other ones. And a good deal of what we've been talking about so far, especially in the fifth and sixth parak, have actually been outgrowths of that. But now we have to get into the actual sort of the meat of it. Okay, what are the malachas of Shabbos, which we're going to deal with on our parak? What's the list of them? And we know that if a person is over on Shabbos for Shogig, then they have to bring a korban chatos. So what are the, so our Mishnah and the Gemara on it are going to deal with the details of under what conditions do you bring different numbers of chatos for it. Now, we know the basic concept is a person does an Avera, which is Chayev Koris, which is Chayev Koris, if he did it B'mezid without Ein Rasra, then he would bring a Chatos if he does it B'shergim. Shabbos is in that category. If he does it with Ein Rasra, he gets Skila, but if he does it without Ein Rasra, he gets Koris. Therefore, it's a classic example of one where you bring a Chatos for it. But as Rashi points out, the Gemara, Rashi brings from the Gemara later on, and that's Samach Tes, you have different Sukkim that seem to imply different numbers of chatos for breaking Shabbos. So our Mishnah is going to break that down for us and tell us what the rules are when a person would bring one chatos versus multiple chatos. The basic point again is there has to be that there was some kind of shogig, that there was some kind of unknowingness, and you have different kinds of unknowingness when it comes to Shabbos. There can be, as we're going to see in the Mishnah, there can be you didn't know b'chlal that there is such a thing as Shabbos. There can be you didn't know that today was Shabbos, and there can be you didn't know that that this particular thing is a malacha. And then, of course, in the Gemara, eventually we'll get to the question, what if you have multiple things like that? What if you don't know that today is Shabbos, and you don't know that this is a malacha? Anyway, so the Mishnah starts. Chlal gadol amru b'Shabbos. The Chacham has said a great rule as far as Shabbos, and we'll see that the first part of the Gemara is going to deal with the question, why it uses the word chlal gadol? What's so great about this rule? The rule is like this. Number one, kol ha-shecheach ikar Shabbos. If a person forgets the whole concept of Shabbos, meaning as far as he knows, there's no place in the Torah where it says that you're not allowed to do malacha on Shabbos. We'll see in the Gemara, we're going to start talking about a machlok, Rav and Shmuel, and Rav Yechon and Rish Lakish. What happens if a person, does this only apply if a person once knew about Shabbos and then forgot it? Or are we talking about even a person who maybe grew up never knowing about Shabbos at all, the classic Tinik Shnishka? So we'll deal with that in the Gemara. Anyway, Kol HaShecheach Ikar Shabbos, a person forgets the whole concept of Shabbos. V'asa Melachas Habi B'Shabbos Habi, so he did many different Melachas on many different Shabbosim. Ein Echayev Alachat Esachas, in the end, when he finds out, he's only going to bring one Chatos. In effect, all of this was considered, it was considered one long period of shogig because he didn't know about Shabbos at all. Rashi again points out that later on, we're going to learn in a couple of days, Bez Hashem, the Gemara brings a pasuk, one pasuk that seems to imply that you have one thing for many Shabbosim, because you have v'shamer b'nei Yisrael, you have v'shamer b'nei Yisrael Shabbos, Loshen Yochid, they should observe the Shabbos, in singular, implying that there's only that if they don't, then there's only one chatas to be brought. On the other hand, you have Beis Shamsoi Sai Tishmoru in Kedoshim, and actually also in this week's parasha, it's Shamsoi Tishmoru or Mikdoshi Tiro in Parashat Bahar, which implies that you have many chatas. So therefore, Rashi says it's logical that we're going to say when is he chayav one chatas, when the whole thing was one big unknowingness that he didn't know b'chlal that there was such a concept as Shabbos. So therefore, he brings one chatos at the end.
Was he living on a desert island and never came in contact with civilization that they could tell him the Shabbos and he would be the Helam and he could bring a few chatos?
Yeah, that could be a case. He was on a desert island. And we're going to have the example of Gemara of Tinek Shinishbol of Einan Nachrim, of a child who was taken captive by the Goyim and grew up among them and never knew of Shabbos. Yeah. again, we have to remember that, again, the Gemara is going to talk about two different possibilities. Is it that he never knew of Shabbos, which is Tinik Shanishba, or is it that he forgot that there's such a thing as Shabbos at all? So, yeah, I guess for your example, where he knew previously about Shabbos and now forgot it. Yeah, I guess you could say, let's say he's living now, doesn't have to be on a desert island necessarily. He's living in an all Goyish city. We're talking, you know, nowadays, of course, most societies in the world keep a 7-day week, so you're going to know when it's Shabbos anyway, because when it's Friday night and Saturday for them, then it's Shabbos for us. But in the olden days, many different nations did not have 7-day weeks. They had other ways of measuring time. Okay. Next case. Hayageya Ika Shabbos. If a person knows the basic concept, there is such a thing as Shabbos, but he forgot that today is Shabbos. But also malachas have a Shabbos time, and then each time on Shabbos he did many different malachas, not knowing that that day was Shabbos. Then ain't chayav alachas asachas. Then he's on. Then chayav alach Shabbos for Shabbos. Then he's chayav an individual chatas for each Shabbos. Now, why? On the face of it, he didn't necessarily know that he didn't necessarily find out in between that those days were Shabbosim. So Rashi says, inevitably, it has to be that in between, he must have heard that day, that task was Shabbos. So therefore, it's called Yediyos Machalkos. You have a general concept in the halachas of Chatzos, that if let's say, for example, you didn't know, with other kinds of things, Chayv Chatzos, Avodah Zarah, Chelev, etc., let's say a person ate chalev, not knowing that it was osur, or not knowing that this was chalev, then he remembered afterwards, then later on he forgot again, or again didn't realize that this was chalev or whatever, the din is that he's bringing a separate chatas for each time. So the same thing over here, Rashi says, inevitably he has to have found out between one Shabbos and the next that it was Shabbos, and therefore you have your Yedias Mechalkos, and therefore he's going to be bringing a separate chatas for each one. Toisbeth actually.
How can he be forgetting and it's still considered the shogeg?
Because that's the definition of shogeg, is that he doesn't know. Actually, we're going to get into the Gemara, into the details of what exactly shogeg is, what exactly he has to be that he's unknowing about. But yeah, where he forgot the whole concept of Shabbos, or where he forgot that today is Shabbos, yeah, that's an example of shogeg.
No, I understand, but to repeatedly forget the same things, that's kind of questionable.
Well, okay, I mean, we're not necessarily saying that such a thing ever happened in real life, but if it happens, for whatever reason, it could happen. I mean, obviously, you could obviously have the case where he loses track of the day and say, you know, as in the famous story of Rav Asher of Yanov, you know, who thought that Thursday was Friday and Friday is Shabbos, et cetera, you know, so I suppose you could have that. I suppose, you know, when you get, you know, in that story, if the Beis Mikdash was standing, then I guess Rav Asher would be in the situation of our mission. He knows that the Malachas are off, so he just doesn't know that today is Shabbos. In the end, he'd be bringing one Chatas for each Shabbos that he broke. But I guess you could have other examples as well. He knows of the concept of Shabbos, and sometime during the week it strikes him, you know, wait a minute, I did Malacha every day last week, one of those days, must have been Shabbos. But then by the time the next Shabbos comes around again, let's say he's living among the Goyim, they don't have a 7-day week, the rhythms of their lives are different. So the next week, you know, again, he chatzich after the fact that, you know what, wait a minute, I did Malacha, how could I have done Malacha on Shabbos, you know, and I didn't realize because the Goyim around us call it some other day, you know. Reminds me, by the way, an interesting thing worth mentioning, you know, a lot of people have complained over the years about the fact that the calendar, the Goyish calendar that the whole world uses is very inconsistent. You have months of four different possible lengths. You have a month can begin on any day of the week or whatever. So there was actually a proposal that was being put around in the 20s and 30s to reform the calendar to make it that, among other things, that a year will always consist of an even number of weeks and the months will consist of an even number of days. In the 20s, they brought it up in the 50s again. And both times, Rabbanim successfully managed to get it shot down because they said, if you do that, you're going to mess up Shabbos. You're going to have the way they want it to have it is you're going to have at the end of the year or at the end of the month or whatever, you're going to have a couple of blank days that are not going to be called part of any week. So Rabbanim successfully both times lobbied the League of Nations or the United Nations or whatever it was at the time, saying, you know, then what's going to happen? You know, 1 year Shabbos is going to be on what you guys call Saturday, and another year it's going to be on what you guys call Friday, and another year Thursday, and it's going to be really hard for us. So and then they successfully got it shot down. Anyway. But had that happened, had one of those proposals come into effect, then yeah, you could easily have. But a person grows up, let's say, being used to the idea that Shabbos is always Friday night and Saturday, and then this year Shabbos is going to be Tuesday night and Wednesday under one of those proposals or whatever, and he forgets for week after week, and then doesn't realize until afterwards that, hey, you know what, this year it's not like that. Okay. So in any case, so Rashi says the idea is that inevitably he has to have found out during the week that it was Shabbos. Tosfos has a bunch of questions on that, and Tosfos learns differently that no, what it is basically it's a gzeiras hakosim, that whether you found out in the middle or not, nevertheless you still chayiv separately for each Shabbos because you knew of the concept of Shabbos and you just didn't know that it was Shabbos. So, but a number of Rishonim explained that maybe Rashi himself would agree that it doesn't necessarily mean that he has to know. Just the fact that he could have known during the week is good enough to make it a separate chatas for each one. Okay, that's the second case anyway. Third case, Hayadeya Shohu Shabbos. Third case, the person knows that today is Shabbos. But also Malachas Habe B'Shabbos is Habe, and he does many different Malachas on many different Shabbosim. Then Chayev Al Kol Av Malacha O'Malacha, then he's Chayev for each individual Av Malacha that he did. So he did, let's say, one Shabbos. He didn't know that these five things are obvious malachas. Let's say he did five things, then he's chayav five chatois, and you have actually machloikas from the Sefer Christus. Do we then multiply that by the number of Shabbosim? Do we then say that if he did this five Shabbosim in a row, he's now bringing 25 chatois, or is he only bringing five? That's the machloikas over there. Anyway. When we say over here, av malacha or malacha, Rashi points out, we don't mean that if he does the toldos, that he's not going to be chayav. As a matter of fact, whether a person does an av malacha or a tolda, either way, chayav the same chatas. The reason why we're stressing av malacha or malacha is as opposed to if he did a malacha with its toldos, then he's not going to be chayav separate chatas for that. You actually have an opinion to the contrary about that in the Sefer Christus. Again, you have an opinion of Rabbi Eliezer, who says that not a person is chayav for all this and toldos separately, but our Mishnah is not like that, and our Mishnah and the next Mishnah are implying not like that. He's only chayav for the obvious malachas. So, for example, to give an example of obvious and toldos, the Rambam describes as follows. Let's say, for example, an av malacha is to plant. It's the first malacha on the list that we're going to learn in a couple of days in the next Mishnah. So, similar to that av malacha is, for example, the Rambam describes is, for example, pruning trees in order to encourage their growth. So that's the same thing. Planting is you're planting a seed or you're planting a branch or whatever in the ground so it can start growing. And here, the same thing. You're doing something directly to the tree itself in order to promote its growth. A tulda, that would be watering plants. But let's say, for example, on one Shabbos, a person planted a tree and watered it. So he's only high of one Shabbos. On the other hand, if, let's say, he dug a hole in the ground, which is a different malacha, chodesh, and then he planted the tree, then he's going to be chayav two chatzaris. That's what we're saying. And that's what the Mishnah finishes off. Ha'oisa malachas habim ein malacha achas. If a person does many different malachas that are similar to one malacha, that are all outgrowths of one malacha, then ein chayav alachatas achas, then he's only chayav one chatzas for that. So again, if you were to plant a tree and prune it and water it, for example, then he's only chayav one chatzas. Okay. So the Gemara is going to start off first with discussing the question: why does the Mishnah use the word klal gadol? You have similar sugyas like this in a number of places in Chas. Many of them were added by the Rabbanan Tzvuroi. I don't know if this is one of them, but you have a number of sugyas like that where the Gemara will first go and analyze the wording of the Mishnah, why it uses a particular word or a particular phrase, without it necessarily having an implication in halacha. Okay. So the Gemara starts off, my time a ton of klal gadol. Why did the Mishnah start off with the words klal gadol on Ruba Shabbos? Ilema mishum de kaboy lemisni oid klalach, a ton of klal gadol. You're going to say maybe the reason is because further on towards the end of the Perek, we're going to learn we're going to learn an oid klal acher, another rule regarding the halachas of Shabbos that has to do with the halachas of carrying. And you're going to say that therefore, so you start off with a ton of klal gadol. So therefore, you're going to say, so you start off with klal gadol, and then you're going to have oid klal acher, and we're going to call this one klal gadol because it includes more things. We had four different rules in our Mishnah. The case where a person didn't know ikar Shabbos, the case where a person didn't know that that it was Shabbos, the case where he knew that it was Shabbos but he didn't know this was malacha, and the case where the person does many different things me'ein malacha. We have four different rules in our Mishnah, as opposed to the Mishnah later on in the Perek has only two rules. So you're going to say, therefore, this one is a klal gadol. And you're going to say the Dabbas Shviyas Nami. In that case, you have in Masechta Shviyas, which is the dinim of Shemitah, very negaya to this week's parasha. Also, you have a Perek over there that begins klal gadol on Rubba Shviyas. And you're going to say the reason is because also Mishum the Kabbalah Mishni Oid Klal Acher, because you have another Klal that it's going to mention over there. So again, therefore, ton of Klal Gadol. So you're going to say that therefore you have, so the first one is called Klal Gadol because it's a more all-encompassing rule. Namely, how is it more all-encompassing? The Tosfos explains that when it comes to Shavuos, the first Klal that it mentions, now we know there's a number of dinim that apply to Shavuos. One of them is the concept of Kedushat Shviyas, that things that grow during Shemitah year, the various crops that grow during Shemitah year, have Kedushat Shviyas, and you have rules about them. You have to use them for their proper purpose. You can't, for example, take something that's usable for human food and use it for animal food. You can't take something that's usable for animal food and use it for dyeing, let's say, etc. And you also have a concept that the money of it, the money or anything that you buy with it, also has Kedushas Shviyas. You also have the concept of beer, that at the end, as it comes to the end of the season, when none of that particular type of produce is available out in the fields anymore, then you have to get rid of whatever is left of it in your house. It's called beer. So the first Mishnah over there then mentions dinim about both the dinim of Kedushas Shviyas and beer, and then the later on Klal only talks about beer. So therefore, you're going to say, again, the first klal is more all-encompassing than the second. Okay, the problem with that is, the problem is that when it comes to the dinim of Meister, Rishon, that is, the Mishnah mentions oid klal acher, another rule, and it's not preceded by klal gadol. So if the rule is that whenever we have a big rule, and then we have another rule, then we're going to call the first one klal gadol. Then in that case, by Meister also, v'loitani klal gadol. You don't have a preceding klal gadol. You just have the first one says you have klal omer b'meister, v'oid klal achas. So you have two klalim over there, but the first one is not called klal, is not labeled klal gadol. Now why not? Rabbi Yosef Ba'avin says like this. The difference is, it's not just whether the first rule has more details and has more all-encompassing details than the first one. It's rather, Shabbos or Shviyas is for others that told us, Tani Gadol. Because the difference is, when it comes to Shabbos and when it comes to Shemitah, you have others and told us involved. By Shabbos, of course, you have others and told us. Like we were just saying, every Av Malacha also has toldos of it, also has outgrowths of it, which are equally also on a daraisa level. But then you also have, when it comes to Shemitah, you also have ovis and toldos as well. You have like this, the Torah in this week's parasha mentions only four kinds of things that you're not allowed to do during Shemitah. The Sodchol is Tizra, V'cham chol is Tizmer, the passage says you're not allowed to plant your field, you're not allowed to prune your vineyard, a so the aftergrowth, the things that grow on their own, and of what they wheat or barley or beans or whatever that fell down during the previous year and grew on their own, you're not allowed to harvest them. You're not allowed to harvest the set aside grapes of yours. So therefore, so those are the malachas that are also midaraisa. Those are the others. Everything else, so planting, harvesting, pruning, and harvesting grapes. Everything else is considered a tolda of that. So therefore, by Shabbos and by Shavuos, you have ovis and you have toldos. Tosfos points out there was an opinion that says that maybe the other Toldos are only when it comes to Shemitah are only Derabanan. Okay, but at least they exist. Okay, so on a Daraisa level, Toldos exist in the Malachos of Shabbos. Maybe only on the Derabanan level they exist by Shemitah, but at least they exist. As opposed to Meister, the less the Ovis, as opposed to Meister, you don't have Ovis and Toldos, you just have things are Chayav and Meister, or they're Potter and Meister. You don't really have a concept of Ovis and Toldos, at least not as far as Malachos, because Tosfos says, okay, maybe what you have is that Midaraisa, Tosfos learns that only grain, grapes, and olives are Chayav and Meister, everything else is only Derabanan, fine, but it's not a Tolda in terms of a Malacha that you're not allowed to do. So therefore, it says there's no Ovis and Toldos in Meister. Loi Tanach Klal Gadol. Therefore, the Mishnah doesn't use the expression Klal Gadol. Because Gadol would have to imply that there's Ovis and Toldos. Okay. The problem with that is all about Kapara. What about a point about Kapara's version? Now, Bar Kapara composed his own version of Brisa. Just like we had various Talmidim of Rebbe, who were among the last Tanoim, and some of them are considered also the beginning of Amoraim, many of them wrote collections, many of them composed collections of varieties of their own. We have the Tosefta, which was composed by Rav Chiya and Rav Oshia, and then you have in different places, the Gemara mentions various other such collections. You have one of Bar Kapara, you have one from Levi, you have one of Nezikin that was done by Karna and Babel, etc. So Bar Kapara's version of the Braisa, his version of the Braisa had Klal Gadol b'Meiser. It does have the words Klal Gadol when it comes to Meiser as well. So then, according to him, my Ovis and my Toldos Ikka. So according to him, you have to ask, why Gadol? If we just said the rule that Gadol means there are Ovis and there are Toldos, then how does that work by Meiser? Now, the obvious question is, the Gemara could have answered, okay, well then, we go back to our original answer. My Kapara holds, whenever the first rule is larger than the second, then you use Gadol. So why doesn't the Gemara doesn't want to use that answer? Either because the Rashba says, among other things, first of all, maybe Bakapara didn't have the second rule in his Braisis at all. So then you don't have a second rule to say that the first one is Gadol relative to. Or maybe because the Gemara wants to find an answer that will work according to both Bakapara and the version of the Mishnayos as we have it. So therefore, the Gemara doesn't just want to say that the first rule is larger than the second. Okay. El Lav Haina Taimus, the Gemara says no. So that's not the reason why sometimes we say Gadol and why not. The reason is because Gadol Oinche Shal Shabbos Yosim Shal Shavidim. It's like this. The punishment when it comes to Shabbos is greater than the punishment when it comes to Shavidim. Now, the Gemara is not really focusing on the punishment, and we'll talk about that in a second, but rather the Gemara is pointing out, in other words, that the scope of the Dinim of Shabbos is greater than the Dinim of Shavidim. The either Shabbos Isa Ben Betolosh Ben Mechuber, because Dinim of Shabbos, Malachas of Shabbos, apply whether you have something that was already detached from the ground before Shabbos, or whether it was uprooted and detached from the ground only on Shabbos. Meaning, in other words, you have Malachas that involve things that are attached to the ground, like for example pruning or harvesting, and then you have malachas that involve things that are detached from the ground before Shabbos. For example, grinding, kneading, etc. The ilus shviyas, whereas when it comes to shviyas, the tolush lesser b'machover isa. When it comes to shviyas, only things that were attached to the ground when shviyas began have the dinim of shviyas. Things that were detached, things that were fruit or grain or what have you that was picked or harvested before Shavuos, then the dinim of Shavuos don't apply to it. So therefore, so the scope of the dinim of Shabbos is bigger than the dinim of Shavuos. Okay, Tosfos learns a little differently. That what it means is that again, malachas of Shabbos apply to everything. They can apply to things that were attached when Shabbos began or things that were not attached when Shabbos began. Whereas Shavuos, the malachas that you're not allowed, not the eating, not the dinim of Kedusha Shavuos, fine, but rather the actual malachas of Shavuos only apply to things that are attached to the ground. You're allowed to do malachas during Shavuos that have nothing to do with the ground. So therefore, so the scope of Shabbos is bigger. Therefore, we're saying so therefore the word Gadol is appropriate by Shabbos, and the Gadol Oinsha Shal Shviyas Yosim and Meiser. In turn, the punishment of Shviyas is greater than Meiser. Again, we're not focusing on the punishment, but rather we're focusing on the scope of it. because the dinim of shmita applies to things that are human food as well as things that are animal food. You have certain kinds of things. So you have the same way as, for example, the dinim of shmita, as far as, again, you're not allowed to waste it, you're not allowed to sell it, and so on and so on. You have to do beer on it, etc. All of that applies to things that are meant for human food, for human consumption. They're also meant for the kind of things, for example, certain kinds of beans, certain kinds of straw, etc., that are meant primarily as animal food. The same dinim apply to them. You can only use them for animal food, not for other purposes. You can't waste them. You have to do beer, etc., etc. So therefore, again, as opposed to the ilu meister, the meichel adam iser, the meichel behema lesser, as opposed to meister, doesn't apply to meichel behema. We know that famously Esav used to ask Yitzchak, how do you take meister from straw? But you, of course, don't take meister from straw because meichel behema. So therefore, again, the scope of the dinim of shmita is greater than the dinim of meister. So therefore, so Shabbos has a greater scope than Shvius. Shvius has a greater scope than meister. Therefore, you can use the word gadol by Shabbos and by Shvius and not by meister. What about all the bar kapara? The tani klal gadol meister. What about, again, we have to ask, so according to bar kapara, he does have the word gadol by meister in his version of the braisa. So according to him, what's greater about meister than anything else? The answer is gadol oinsha shom meister yosim shom peyah. He would say meister also has something else over which it has an advantage, a greater scope, namely the din of peyah. The ilu meister is the b'tein of a yerek, because the dinim of meister, you have to take truma and meister also, for example, from figs and from vegetables. The ilu peyah less of b'tein of a yerek, as opposed to the dinim of peyah. The dinim of peyah. Oh, do not apply. You don't take peah. You don't have to leave peah for the four people from figs or from vegetables or certain kinds of vegetables. That is the tzaddik. As in fact, we learned in a Mishnah in Masechta Peah, klal omer peah. The Chachamim said a general rule about peah. Kosher. In order for something to be chayav in peah, it has to meet all of the following criteria: kosher hu oicho, anything which is food. Vinishma, and we're going to see the Gemara is going to explain what each of these things is excluding. Vinishma, and it's something which is guarded. You don't just leave it as hefker. The gedulei min ha'aretz, it grows from the ground. Ulekitase ka'achas, you harvest it all at once. Umachnise lekiyum, and you're able to store it away long term. It needs those five criteria, only then chayav b'peah. And what does that mean? Oichel lemo'uti tichei stis v'koitza. When we say the word oichel, we mean as opposed to what? As opposed to aftergrowth of stis and koitza. Stis and koitza, Rashi explains, are different kinds of herbs that are used. They're used for dyeing. They get dye sucked out of them. So therefore, now they're called svichim because typically what happens is you don't necessarily harvest them. You don't necessarily cut them down every year. What you do is you let them grow for a few years in order to let the roots grow, because the roots of these plants are actually what you use for dyes. So therefore, you planted stis or koitza in your field and you're letting it grow for a few years in order that the underground roots become large. Meanwhile, every year it's growing a portion above ground, but it's not really so edible. Therefore, you're not hired to leave payah for the poor people from it. Tosfos says that actually they might be roi to eat, but okay, still maybe they are roi to eat, maybe not. Whatever. Anyway, you're potter from payah from them. Then the nishma l'v'uti hefker, when we say that they're guarded, means as opposed to if the produce is hefker, then you don't have to leave payah from it. Some of these dinim apply to meister as well. You don't take meister from hefker either, but a number of these dinim apply only to payah. The gedulei min ha'aretz, the mo'uti k'nei l'pitrius, when we say that it grows from the ground, that means as opposed to mushrooms and truffles, because as we learned in brachas, even though those may grow on the ground, they don't really grow from the ground in the sense that they don't have roots in the ground. They grow from the moisture in the air. So therefore, they're potter from peah. Or kitase ka'achas mo'uti te'ena, when we say that they're harvested all at once, means as opposed to a fig tree. A fig tree, you have the various fruits on it become ripe at different times. So therefore, you don't harvest all of the fruits on a fig tree all at once. So the Medrash, by the way, that mentions, as a pasuk in Mishlei, that compares learning Torah to a fig tree. And the Medrash says the comparison is, because just like a fig tree, every time you visit it, you're going to find new fruits that are ripe and ready for picking. The same way, every time you learn Torah, you discover something new that you didn't know before. Anyway, the point is that figs are not chayev in peah, because, again, they don't meet this criteria. They're not harvested all at once. As opposed to, though, they are chayev in truma and maaseh. And we're saying that you store it long-term as opposed to certain kinds of vegetables because they don't last. For example, Rashi says, turnips and leeks. Rashi doesn't mean the actual turnip roots themselves. It means actually the turnip leaves. The leaves of those or other kinds of vegetables don't last long-term. You wouldn't store them long-term, therefore they're potter and tanner. So the point is, Sabaka Pato would say, okay, so therefore, Meister has the Ilu Gavid Meister Snan, whereas when it comes to Meister, it's not like that. Klal Omer Meister, the rule as far as Meister, Koshu Oichel, it needs to be food, fine, that's the same criteria as the first one for Peah, the Nishmer, it has to be guarded, the Gedula Minaris, Chayiv Meister. So that's fine. So the first three criteria that apply to Peah also apply to Meister, the Ilu Lakitoska Ka'acha, the Machnitsa Lakiyam, Meister, but we didn't say anything about it has to be harvested all at once, or it has to be able to be stored long-term, so even things that are not harvested all at once, like figs, or even things that can't be stored long-term, like vegetable leaves, are still chayev and meiser. Midrabanan, but nevertheless, they're chayev. Therefore, the point is, so Bakapara figured that therefore it's reasonable to use the word gadol also in connection with meiser, because meiser, again, has a greater scope than peah. Where Tosfos says, okay, the regular Tanoi, the Tana of the Mishnah, who didn't use the word gadol, he would take the view, okay, the fact is, it has an advantage over Peah, but that advantage is only Midrabanan. Tosfos learns here and in a lot of other places that Midaraita, only grain, grapes, and olives are chayiv and truma and meiser. Everything else is only Midrabanan. So the whole idea that figs should be chayiv and meiser and potter from Peah is itself only Midrabanan. Where the Rambam learns differently, by the way. The Rambam learns that all fruits are chayev in truma and ma'is in midaraisa, and it's only vegetables that are only dirabanan. So why indeed does Peah have more criteria? So Rashi learns that basically all these criteria are on a dirabanan level. And therefore that's it. So as opposed to Meister, when the Rabbanan made a takana that you have to take Meister from vegetables, for example, they didn't make or from other kinds of fruits, because Rashi also agrees with Tosfos that other fruits are only the Rabbanan when it comes to Meister. Okay, the Rabbanan didn't care to make that distinction between whether they're stored long term or whether they're picked all at once or not. Tosfos learns that even by Peah, these things are not chayav daraisa, so only dirabanan. So why do we have more criteria by Peah? Tosfos says, because the Chachamim are looking out for the good of the poor people. When you get down to it, Peah is something, unlike Meister, where you have a harvest at a certain time of the year, and the Aniyim come and collect it, and you can have, okay, the harvest lasts a couple of months or whatever, and every day they come for their stuff. When it comes to Peah, though, the Chachamim figured Peah is left one time at the end of the field. So if you were to have things that don't ripen all at once, you have to take Peah from them, it would end up, the Aniyim are going to end up wasting a lot of time. Every day they're going to have to come there to see whether there's more figs that are ripe. And meanwhile, they could just as easily be getting Peah from other places. And the same thing, when it's not machnis of akiyum, look, they're not even going to be able to store it long term, so it's not really worth their while to get it, so therefore the chacham and patur from Peah. That's according to Tosfos, that most things are potter from Peah, daraisa, and only a chayav d'rabbanan, whereas Rashi would learn that everything that's chayav in Peah is chayav on a daraisa level. Anyway, so that explains why our Mishnah uses the word klal gadol, because Shabbos has a greater scope than Meister, and Bakapara says that at least on a Dirabanan level, Meister also over Peah. Now, we use the expression in the Gemara over here. We mentioned Oyin Shoshal Shabbos and Oyin Shoshal Shvius and so forth, and the Gemara didn't really focus on the punishment, but rather on the scope of it. The Rambam actually learns that we are talking about the punishment, that, for example, Shabbos, person is Mechal Shabbos, the Meizid, the Chayv Skila, or Kares, as opposed to Shvius, the maximum is Malchus. Meiser, a person doesn't give Meiser, he's Chayv Misa B'Dei Shemayim. And Teah is only an Issur Lav. There's only an Issur Lav, and there's not even Malchus in it, because now it's a Lav and Nitzik Lashem. Okay, Marshall points out also that you also have, when we say Oyin Shoshal Shvius is greater than the Oyin Shoshal Meiser, we mean in the sense that Rashi mentions in this week's parasha, that not just that a person can be Chayv Malchus for Shvius, in what sense would that be greater than Mitzvah B'Dei Shemayim? But because Rashi brings a long thing from Gemara and Kedushin, that why you have the topics in our parasha and Parashas Bahar are arranged in the order where they are, where first you have the dinim of Shemitah and Yovel, and then you have the dinim about a person selling thing, about buying and selling, and then you have the dinim of a person sells their field, sells their house, sells themselves as an Eved, and Rashi explains, because it's all a continuum. If a person is not careful with the dinim of Shemitah, then he may have that he first ends up having to sell his possessions, and then if he still doesn't do tshuva, then he's going to have to sell his fields, and if not, then even his house, and if not, then even he's going to have to sell himself into slavery, and maybe even to a guy, et cetera, et cetera. So in that sense, the oynish of shviyas, that ongoing thing that he gets worse and worse off, is greater than the oynish of maisa, which is mitzvah b'dei shemayim, for eating tevel, which is a one-time thing. Okay. Now let's get to the actual content of our Mishnah about the various cases where a person was shoygig on Shabbos. So, we said, Rav and Shmuel de Amitavai. Rav and Shmuel both say that the first case of our Mishnah, where we said, Kol HaShecheyach Iker Shabbos, we said that he forgets the whole concept of Shabbos, and he did many malachas and many different Shabbosim. We said he's chayim only one chatos at the end. So Rav and Shmuel both say, Masnitin betinik shenishkol levein anachrim. Our Mishnah is talking about a child who was taken captive among the Goyim, so he grew up never knowing about Shabbos. The Ger is Gai or the Bein Anachrim, or a Ger who became a Ger among the Goyim, and he never found out about Shabbos. Now, how is that possible? Doesn't the Beis Din that was Megayer him, now Tosfos points out, it can't be that he just made himself a Ger. That wouldn't work. You need a Beis Din to make him a Ger. However, the Din is that the Beis Din does not, al pi halacha, have to inform the person of all the mitzvahs in the Torah. It's enough that they inform him of what's called mixtus kalos or mixtus chamuris. They have to inform him of some of the stricter dinim in the Torah and some of the less strict dinim. And then if he accepts all of that and he accepts that, okay, as I learn, then I'll keep. Then I'll keep. I'm accepting on myself now the whole Torah that the Jewish people keep. And as I find out more about it, then I'll keep more and more of it, then that's a valid gain. Rav Moshe actually has an interesting tshuva in that connection about a goyish woman who's married to or about to marry whatever a goyish man and a Beis Din is named Megayer, which okay is a little questionable in itself, whatever. But let's say her husband is not shoyim a Torah or mitzvah, and she becomes a ger. Okay, you know, I'm willing to accept whatever Jews do, but she actually doesn't realize that there's so much that Jews have to do because her husband himself doesn't keep those. And Rav Moshe says that it would be, if a Beis Din were to do it, considered a valid geirus because she is willing to accept whatever Jewish people do. She is willing to accept the mitzvahs in their totality. She just doesn't know what the mitzvahs actually entail because she doesn't see her husband doing all of them. Anyway, so somewhat similar over here. This guy, let's say, he's living among the goyim. Let's say you had a Beis Din pass through. He grabbed the opportunity and became a ger. He grabbed the opportunity. They taught him mixtus kalos and mixtus chamuris, and they didn't teach him about Shabbos. So now he never learned about Shabbos. So that's when Rav and Shmuel are saying that would be the case where eventually, once he comes to a Jewish town and he finds out that there is such a thing as Shabbos, then he's bringing one chatos for all the Shabbosim that he broke. But Rav and Shmuel say, Hikul of a safe shachach, if at one time he knew the dinim of Shabbos, he knew that there's such a thing as Shabbos, and later on he forgot it, then they say, Chayev alka Shabbos or Shabbos, then he's going to be Chayev an individual chatos for each Shabbos that he broke. So in other words, they're saying that when the Mishnah is using the word Hashecheyach, it's using it in a little bit of a looser sense. It's not using it in the obvious sense that we would say that he once knew about it and then he forgot, but rather we're using it in the sense that he never knew about it in the first place. Okay, I saw an explanation about it. I saw a Drush type explanation. We know that a baby is taught the whole Torah in the womb. We know that a ger is started out with a Jewish neshama, so therefore, in a ruchniistic sense, they knew about Shabbos to begin with. They learned in the womb, or their neshama knew, or whatever. They never learned about it when they were a neshama in a body, and therefore, the Mishnah can be using the word shecheach for it. Okay, so the Gemara says, Tanan, let's see our Mishnah. We said hashecheach ikar Shabbos. We said the person forgot the whole concept of Shabbos, and then we're saying he brings only one chatas. Lav miklal dehavale yediyah meikra. Doesn't that seem to imply that shachach seems to be implying that he knew it to begin with and now he forgot it? So then that would mean not like Rav and Shmuel. Even then he's only bringing one chatas. It's not just like, not necessarily. My kol hashecheach ikar Shabbos. What does it actually mean when it says kol hashecheach ikar Shabbos? Rav and Shmuel would say it means dahav shachuach dahoyser shachuach b'menu ikra shal Shabbos. It means that the whole concept of Shabbos was forgotten by him. In other words, he never knew it. He never knew of it in the first place. Okay, so it's using it in a little bit of a looser sense. So he must say, so what? Aval hikul v'sef shachach. So what are you telling me then? If he did at one time know about it, and then later on he forgot, then you're telling me chayev al Shabbos for Shabbos. Then you're saying that he's chayev each individually for each Shabbos, which is what Rav and Shmuel are saying. But then in that case, he'd be chayev an individual chatos for each Shabbos. In that case, ad tani hayadeya ikir Shabbos va'asim alochas habe v'shabbos es habe chayev al Shabbos for Shabbos. In that case, instead of teaching the next case in the Mishnah, which was where he knew about Shabbos and he just didn't know that today was Shabbos and he did different malachas on different Shabboses, then we said he's chayev for every Shabbos individually, a chatos. If you're going to say that there's a difference between never having known about Shabbos versus having known about Shabbos and then forgotten that there's such a thing as Shabbos, if you're going to say there's that difference, listni hikur l'vasoik shachach, then the Mishnah should mention that case where he knew about Shabbos and then forgot about it, and then say that he's chayev individually for each Shabbos, v'chol shekein ha, and then we make a kol shekein and say how much more so when he knew about Shabbos and he just forgot that today was Shabbos, all the more so he'd be chayev individual for Shabbos. If you're going to tell me that when he once knew that there is such a thing as Shabbos and now he's just forgotten that there's such a thing as Shabbos at all, but you're saying the days between one Shabbos and the next are mechalik and therefore they're considered separate shgogos, which is what Rav and Shmuel are saying, then all the more so if he knows there's such a thing as Shabbos and just each week he forgot that it was Shabbos. So the Mishnah should have mentioned the first case, and we would make a kol shekein and say how much more so then that in the second case he'd be chayim. The fact that it doesn't do that seems to imply that only in the case where he actually knew about Shabbos, but he just forgot that it was Shabbos, then only then would he be chayiv separately for each Shabbos. But if he forgot completely about Shabbos, then he would be potter, then he'd be chayiv only one chatas. Because otherwise, the Mishnah should have mentioned that case, which is the less obvious case, that even then you would say that he's chayiv separately for each Shabbos. Okay, the Gemara answers, my hayadeya ikar Shabbos. You know what? We said that Rav and Shmuel are reinterpreting the first case, hashecheach, to say that it means that he never knew about it in the first place. Okay, so you're going to say that the second case also means hayadeya ikar Shabbos doesn't mean like we thought that it means that he knows that there's such a thing as Shabbos and he just forgot that today was Shabbos. It means shahayadeya ikar Shabbos ishchacha, means that he knew at one time that there was such a thing as Shabbos and now he forgot it. So in fact, what we thought was the first case of the Mishnah is actually the second case, namely where he one time knew about Shabbos and then he forgot it, whereas the first case of the Mishnah would be the case where he never knew about Shabbos in the first place. Okay, so the question is, then we have to ask, okay, so what about the next case? Okay, then let's talk about, so what would happen if he didn't forget about Shabbos at all? He only forgot that it was Shabbos today. Then what are you going to say? Chayav al kamalacha o malacha. So now you're going to assume that now goes into the third category of the Mishnah, where he's going to be chayav individually for each malacha of Shabbos. Again, Abdatoni, Hayadea Shu Shabbos, Balsa Malacha Tabi, Shabbos is Tabi, Chayav, Malacha, Malacha. Again, then why is the Mishnah presenting that case? Why is the Mishnah presenting the case? Where's Chayav, an individual chatas for each Malacha? Why is it presenting it only regarding the case where he knows that today was Shabbos? He just didn't know that these things are Malachas. If you're going to say that he actually chayav an individual chatas for each malacha, even when he knew about Shabbos and he just forgot that today was Shabbos, then listen. So therefore, the Mishnah should present the case like that. Hayadeya ikar Shabbos v'chol shekein ha. So the Mishnah should mention in the third case that he knows ikar Shabbos, where even though you could argue that his shgaga on this particular Shabbos was essentially one big shogig, because he didn't know that it was Shabbos, and nevertheless, you, Rav and Shmuel, are telling me that he's chayev a separate chatas for each malacha, all the more so if it's, so that would be what's called shigas Shabbos v'zodin malachas, where the shgaga was one all-encompassing shgaga, he didn't know that today was Shabbos, and you're still saying that maybe he's chayev an individual chatas for each one, how much more so if the shogig was on the individual malachas, what's called zodin Shabbos, the shigas malachas, where he knew that it's Shabbos, but he didn't know that these are malachas, how much more so he'd be bringing a chatas for each one? Again, so the fact that the Mishnah does not present the case like that seems to be implying that only in the case where he had shigas malachas is he bringing a separate chatas for each one, but not where he had shigas Shabbos. So Rashi explains the question like this. According to Rav and Shmuel's explanation, the Mishnah should have included the second and third cases together, basically. It should have said, if somebody knows Iker Shabbos and then he forgot it, or if he knows Iker Shabbos and does Malachas Habit, the Shabbos is Habit, either way, he's chayav for every Shabbos. If we accept what Rav and Shmuel are saying, then we would say as follows. Tinik Shinishba, where he never knew about Shabbos, is bringing one chatas for all the Shabbosim and all the Malachas. Where he knew about Shabbos and forgot about Shabbos, when he knew about Shabbos, but then he forgot that there is ever such a concept of Shabbos, then he's bringing one chatas for each Shabbos. And Rav and Shmuel seem to be saying, when he knows about the concept of Shabbos, then whether he forgot that today is Shabbos or whether he forgot that these are malachas, either way he's bringing a separate chatas for each malacha. So in that case, Rashi says, the Mishnah should have just combined the second and third cases together and said that the din is then he brings a separate chatas for each one. Tosfos learns somewhat differently that the Mishnah can have mentioned them as two different cases, but it should have laid them out differently, and also it's not so much that the Mishnah should have mentioned the two cases together, but it could have just mentioned the last case. And the fact, the Mishnah uses the expression, what was the lashon of the Mishnah? Chayav akol malacha or malacha, or chayav akol Shabbos for Shabbos. If you're going to say that there are cases where he forgot that today was Shabbos, and he's bringing a chatas separately for each malacha, then the expression should have been einoi chayav ela akol Shabbos for Shabbos. But there's a certain case where he's only chayav for each Shabbos, but then there's a case where not, when he's chayav as well for the malachas. And the fact that the Mishnah doesn't do that shows therefore that it's not the way you're trying to understand it. When he doesn't know that today was Shabbos, he's always only bringing one chatas for each Shabbos. Not like we're saying. Okay. So the Gemara says, you're right. Ela, no. We have to say rather as follows. Masnissin kishahikir ulbasayv shachach. As a matter of fact, our Mishnah is actually talking, as we assumed originally, where he knew at one time about the concept of Shabbos, and then he forgot as a whole that there's such a thing as Shabbos. That's when we're saying he's bringing one chatas for all the Shabbosim that he broke. Or the Rabbi Shmuel Nami Kehikul B'Sayv Shachach Dami. What we're going to say then is we're going to change what we said before. Before we thought there's a difference between a person who never knew about Shabbos versus the person who knew about Shabbos and then forgot it. Now we're saying that, no, there's no difference. Both of those are illustrations of the same case where a person is bringing only one chatas. V'hochi itmar, so therefore the discussion goes as follows. Rav Shmuel de Amitabayu, afilu tinik shenishbol v'en anochim, v'gershin esgayel v'en anochim, kehikul v'sef shachav zami, v'chayim. Even this child who was taken captive among the Goyim and never knew about Shabbos, or even the Goy who became a ger among the Goyim and never found out about Shabbos, even they are going to be chayav a chatas for the Shabbosim they broke, because it's considered the equivalent of as if they knew it and then they forgot it. They never knew it. But the fact is that it's considered as if they knew it. And therefore they would be chayav one chatas for everything. Now Rashi says the Mishnah didn't mention that case because the Mishnah wants to tell us that even where he knew at one time about Shabbos and forgot it, he's chayav a chatas. You would think, as we did in the original version of the Gemara, that maybe in that case he's chayav a separate chatas for each one, and therefore the Mishnah wants to tell us that not. Again, Tosfos uses a logic similar to before, where since the Mishnah said ein chayev ela achas, since the Mishnah said he's only chayev one, that means the Mishnah is trying to find the cases where even though you would think he's chayev more, he's chayev less, and therefore the Mishnah didn't focus on the case where he never knew about Shabbos in the first place, because then according to Rav and Shmuel, the fact that he's chayev, that he shouldn't be chayev more than one chatas, there's no chiddush in it. Obviously, it was one big shogeg that he never knew about Shabbos. And therefore, so the Mishnah is not focusing on the fact that he would have to bring the one chatas. But he would have to bring the one chatas for all the Shabbosim that he broke.
But can't you imply from the language of the Mishnah that if he knew once and he's chayav just one chatas, that if he didn't know, he was not chayav? It's implied.
No, so that's the thing. When the Mishnah had started off, because the Mishnah never said anything about knowing in the first place. The first clause of the Mishnah, which is what we're dealing with over here, says, Kol ha-shecheach iker Shabbos.
Shecheach implies he knew.
So that's the thing. So the Gemara had started with the assumption, first of all, Rashi on the Mishnah explains, Kisover ein Shabbos v'Torah. He's under the impression that there's no Shabbos in the Torah. Now, you can have two ways that a person can reach that. There can be where he knew about it to begin with and he forgot, and there can be where he never knew. The Gemara had started with the assumption. We started by understanding Rav and Shmuel in to say that Shecheach Iker Shabbos means where he never knew about it in the first place, as opposed to he knew about it and then forgot. And now we're saying that no, both of those cases are included under the heading of Kol Shecheach Iker Shabbos. So the Mishnah didn't break out the case of the Tinik Shenishka separately, but nevertheless that's included in the case of Kol HaShecheach Iker Shabbos, according to Rav and Shmuel, and he is in fact chayav one chatas eventually for all the Shabbosim that he broke.
So even if you interpret the way Shecheach this way, it still implies that if he didn't know, he should not have been offering the chatas.
No, what we're saying is the word Shecheach therefore has a double meaning. It means that he never knew about it. It was, as the Gemara said before, shachuach meikrei. It was never known to him in the first place. Versus where he knew about it. Versus he knew about it and then he forgot it. Okay. But therefore, so Rav and Shmuel are saying that in fact he is going to have to bring one chata for all the Shabbosim that he broke. Okay. That's according to them. Now another opinion, Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Shimon Lakish to Amitavayu. On the other hand, Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Shimon Lakish both say, no, when our Mishnah mentions Kol HaShecheach Iker Shabbos, means Davke Hikul of Asay Shachar, means specifically the second case, where he knew about Shabbos and then forgot it. Abel Tinik Shenishba Levein HaNochrim V'Gershin Esgayu Levein HaNochrim, Potter. They would say that the Tinik Shenishba is actually completely Potter. Now, why would he be completely potter? Rashi explained because there's a concept in halacha called oimer mutter. Oimer mutter, where it means where a person says, a person thinks that such and such is mutter. So he never knew to begin with that. He never knew to begin with that it's osur. So Rav Yechanan and Rish Lakish are learning that oimer mutter is considered an onus And as an onus, you only bring a chafetz for a shegig. You don't bring a chafetz for an oynes. Therefore, no chafetz. So therefore he's potter from a chafetz according to them. So the Rav and Shmuel in effect would be saying that oymer mutter is shegig. And Rabbi Yechon and Rosh Lakish would be saying that he's actually considered an onus. So two different opinions. Tosfos mentions that maybe that's not the reason. We're going to quote soon an opinion of Munbaz about the definition of Shoigig. Maybe Rabbi Yechon and Rosh Lakish follow that opinion. Okay, whatever it is. Fine, so the Gemara says, maybe I have a contradiction. We learn in a Braisa, Klal Gadol Omer B'Shabbos, the Chachamim said a great rule about Shabbos, Kol HaShecheach Ikka Shabbos, V'Otem Melacha Tavei V'Shabbos Tavei, where he forgot the whole concept of Shabbos, and did many Melachas and many different Shabbos, Ein Chayv Alachas, he's only Chayv one Chachas, Kesad, and here the Mishnah adds, and not the Mishnah, the Braita adds a detail. What is an example of Shecheach Ikka Shabbos? Tinech Shinishbol Avein HaNachrim, V'Gershin Iskayu Ben HaNachrim. A child that was taken captive among the goyim, or a ger who became a ger among the goyim, but also malachas habe b'shabbos habe, ain't a chayiv alachata tachas. He's only chayiv one chatas. So that works according to Rav and Shmuel. But how does that work according to Rabbi Yechon and Rish Lakish? So it works according to either version of Rav and Shmuel the way we understood them. We could say the Braita is saying that's the only case that's considered tolash hechayach ikar Shabbos, or we could say that's one of the two cases that's considered. But whatever, according to Rabbi Yechon and Rish Lakish, who say that in such a case he's considered onerous and he's potter, then how does that work? And the Braita continues. V'chayev ala dam achas, v'ala chelev achas, v'ala v'dezara achas. He's chayev one chatas for all the blood that he ate when not knowing that blood is also from the Torah, and one chatas for all the chelev that he ate, and one chatas for all the avodazara that he worshipped. All of those things also are things that you bring a chatas for. There is an interesting point. Tosfos actually later on in the Perek points out that at least when the base din is being Megayah, the guy, okay, they don't have to tell him all the mitzvahs. It could happen they didn't tell him about Shabbos, but it can't be they don't tell him about Avodah Zarah. That's impossible. Then what are the Geiros consist of then? So they say that in the case of our Braita, you would have to say when we say Va'al Avodah Zarah Achas is referring back only to the child. That you're right. If a Gershon is Geir, the Bein HaNochrim, continued worshiping Avodah Zarah because the base din never told him that Avodah Zarah is also, then it's not a Geiros to begin with. But you can still have the child was captured by the goyim when he was young. He never found out that Avodah Zarah is also. And now, throughout his life, he was worshiping Avodah Zarah. And now, when he gets older, he finds out that he's a yid. And now he's chayav a chatas for all the Avodah Zarah that he worships. Anyway, the point is, the Braita is saying, so he's chayav individually for each major type, for each of the individual chayvei krisis that he was over on. The Mishnah at the beginning of Masechta Krisis says there are 36 chayvei krisis in the Torah, and most of them carry a chatos if he doesn't b'shoigig. So for each one of those individually that he did, thinking that he was a goy and thinking that these things don't apply, then he has to bring a chatos for it. The Braita continues. Umunbaz poiter. Munbaz says that he is poiter from bringing a chatos for these things. By the way, I mean, you know, who is this Munbaz? I mean, you have the famous King Munbaz, who he and his family became Gerim, and they gave many donations to the Mishmishash and a huge amount of tzedakah and whatever. But it's not the same Munbaz. It could be a descendant of his. It could be a person who was named after him, whatever. And as we're going to see, he was a Talmud of Rabbi Akiva. So, v'chachoyim Munbaz don lifnei Rabbi Akiva. Munbaz argued as follows in front of Rabbi Akiva. I'm going to make a binyan out. Rashi actually calls it Zeder Shabbat. We find in the Pesukim that a person who does a certain Avera of Mezid is called a Choyte. Namely, you have, when it comes to Shvuah Ta'edus, when you have Reuven goes over to Shimon and Levi and says to them, I know that you guys know Edus on my behalf, that Yehuda owes me money. Please come to Beis Din and testify on my behalf. And Shimon and Levi swear we don't know that Edus. Later on, when they do Tshuva, they have to bring a Korban Ola B'Yodin for it. A chatas of variable value, depending how much they can afford, an animal, two birds, or a korban mincha. And that applies whether they were shugging or whether they were mazed when they applies even if they were mazed when they swore they didn't know the agent. So we and the pasuk starts off with every nefesh b'sechta. So we see the word choite can be applied to somebody who does something amazing. And a shugging is called a choite because you have sukkim that say nefesh b'sechta b'shugga. So therefore, Munbat says, therefore, I'm going to make a gzera shava or a binyanav between them. Ma mezid shahoyta lo yediyah, just like a mezid has to be somebody who knew to begin with, the definition of mezid is that he knew that what he's doing is wrong, and he did it anyway. Af shogig, shahoyta lo yediyah. The same way as shogig, there has to have been some knowledge. So therefore, Munbaz is saying that if he never knew to begin with, then there never was any knowledge, therefore he can't be chayv b'chata. Amalai Rabbi Akiva, said Rabbi Akiva says, okay, let's take your argument and extend it further. Hareini Moisif al Dvaracha. Okay, let me add to what you just said. Fine, let's say if you're gonna darshan the Gzeira Shava like that and learn the definition of Shogig from the definition of Mezid, then let's take that further. In that case, what's the definition of amazed? Not just that he knew beforehand that it was author. He knows now, right when he's doing the answer, that it's author. So you're going to say, then in that case, according to that logic, a shogig would have to be also when he's doing it, he knows that it's also. And Munbaz says to him, yes, as a matter of fact, good, you're arguing to what I'm saying. Obviously, you're supporting what I'm saying. As a matter of fact, yes, I would hold that is also considered a shogig. Now, the obvious question is, if he knows what he's doing is wrong, then in what sense is he a shogig? The Gemara is going to talk about that soon. But anyway, so Munbaz is saying, yes, Rabbi Akiva, you're arguing that if he knows right now what he's doing is wrong, he can still be considered a shogig. Yes, that's exactly what I'm saying. And therefore, so yeah, I'm saying we learn shogig from mazid throughout. A shogig, a mazid knew beforehand that what he's doing is wrong, and therefore, shogig also has to have had some period where he knows that this that he's about to do now is wrong. And number two, there can also be a kind of shogig where right now he knows that what he's doing is wrong, and he still does it anyway, and he's still called a shogig, as the Gemara is going to explain soon how that would be considered a shogig. And but Rabbi Akiva tells him, Amalei, the Baruch, in the Kodesh Shogig, I'm amazing. And Rabbi Akiva tells him, in that case, if the guy knows that right now what he's doing is wrong, then he's not a shogig, he's amazing. Now, again, what Munbaz is going to answer to that, we're going to see in the Gemara soon. Anyway, the point is, Katoni Mia, Kesad Tinek Shanishkol of the Katoni, Katoni Mia, Kesad Tinek. Knew, the Braisa had said that what's an example of that what does it mean where the person is chayev one chatos is a tinik shenishma. Bishleim of a rabbi Shmuel Micha, so according to Rav and Shmuel, good, because they're saying that is one of the cases where a person is bringing one chatos. El of Rav Yechon or Rav Shimon Lakish Kasha. But what are Rav Yechon and Rav Shimon Lakish doing that? With that, with Kasha on them, where they say that he's potter because he was Oymer Mutter, because he thought that it was Mutter, and they consider it Onus. The answer is Amilach, Rav Yechon, Beresh Lakish. Nu, Loi Mi'ikam Munbaz the potter. Nu, okay, so you see right there in the Braisa that you have a different opinion. You have Munbaz who holds that he's potter if he never knew, because again, Munbaz learns Shogig from Mezid and says that just like a Mezid had to have known at one point that what he's about to do is Osir, so a Shogig also by definition has to be like that. Fine, I'm not dominant from Munbaz, so fine, we hold like Munbaz and say that, that in that case he would be Potter. So here's where Tosfos mentions, given that Munbaz is actually learning it from his Zera Shabbat, that okay, where it's not necessarily on the grounds that Oyma Mutter. However, the Gemara continues, my time of the Munbaz. Okay, but what is Munbaz's reason? Because after all, Rashi says it can't just be that he's basing himself on his Binyan Av or his Gzeira Shava. I mean, the fact of the matter is, Shogig and Mezid are two opposites. One's Chayev, one is Chayev, Skila or Kodesh or what have you. One is Potter. And it's obviously the equation of Shogig and Mezid doesn't carry throughout. The Munbaz has to have some other source that tells him to use this Gzeira Shava or this Binyan Av and things like that. So where does he get that from? So like this. Because the pasuk says like this: when it comes to avodah zarah, the pasuk says Torah achas yilachem ma'oseh b'shuvah. The Torah says there should be one uniform rule for you for a person who acts b'shuvah, that he brings a carbon chatos. And then the Samichle, the next pasuk continues, Bahanefesh Hashatasa B'Yad Rama, the next pasuk continues, a person who acts high-handedly, meaning B'Mezid, then he gets Kares. So therefore, Munbar says, Hikish Shogig L'Mezid. So we have a Hekish between Shogig and Mezid. And a Hekish is a strong thing. You can't break down a Hekish so easily. Therefore, Ma Mezid Shahoysa L'Yadiyah, Af Shogig Shahoysa L'Yadiyah. So therefore, just like a mezid had a yediyah in the first place, so a shogeg also has to have that there was a yediyah. So even though they're not completely similar, even though there's in some ways shogeg and mezid are opposite, but nevertheless we're still saying there's a certain similarity between them. Then the similarity again is where he didn't know to begin with, then he can't be called shogeg, then he's called onus. And also, that even if, while he knows, while he's doing it, that it's also, then it still can be a shogeg, as we're going to talk about soon. But still, the Gemara asks, okay, but Rabbanon hai Torah achas mayavdi, right? Okay, but Rabbanon also, Rabbanon, meaning Rabbi Akiva, who argue with Munbaz and have a different definition of shogeg, well, they also see the hekish over there in the pasuk. What are they doing with that hekish? The answer is, Miboy lehu l'chidim makli le Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi the Brei. They use it for the thing that Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi taught his son when he was teaching him this pasuk. The pasuk says, Torah achas yolachem lois b'shrav. You have a pasuk that says that you have one rule for a person who acts b'shrav that they have to bring a carbon. So you would think, therefore, that a person brings a chatas for any aveir that they do b'shrav. But then the pasuk also says, a few pasukim earlier, v'chi sishku v'loi sasu eskal ha-mitzvah ta'eleh. Then the pasuk says, if you mistakenly don't do all of these mitzvahs, and all of these mitzvahs refers to Avodah Zarah, which is considered the equivalent of all the mitzvahs, so therefore, so now you're saying that a person brings a chakas only for worshipping Avodah Zarah by mistake, and then you have the pasuk that says that if a person does it, b'mezid, then he gets kares. So you have like this, therefore. Hukshu kulam Avodah Zarah. Therefore, Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi is saying, and Rabbi Akiva agrees with this, the Hekish is not teaching us a similarity between Shogeg and Mezid. The Hekish is teaching us a similarity between other Averis and Avodah Zarah. Hukshu kulam Avodah Zarah. We're making a Hekish between all of them and Avodah Zarah. And therefore, it comes out like this. Ma lahalan davar shechayav malzone koris v'shegzoteh chasas. Just like Avodah Zarah is something, if a person does it, Mezid, he gets Kares, as the Sukkim are saying over there, and therefore, if he does it, the Shogeg is bringing a Chatas, Ah, called Dover, Shachayavan, Al Zone Kares, Al Shigrafe Chatas. So the same thing, any Avera, in order for a person to be Chayav Chatas, it has to be that the Mezid, it would be Kares, and therefore, the Shogeg is bringing a Chatas. So they're learning from this Hekish, that concept, that which Avera does a person bring a Chatas for, the ones that are similar in that sense to Avodah Zarah. So therefore, which is Chayav Kares, exactly.
Only the ones that are Chayav Kares.
So therefore, so you don't have it available to teach us anything about the similarity between Shogeg and Mezid. Okay, so the question is, the El Munbaz Shogeg B'mai. Okay, the question is, what if, according to Munbaz, then, if Munbaz is saying that a person can be Shogeg even when he knows right now that what he's doing is wrong, then what on earth is the Shogeg? What is the definition? What is the definition of Shogeg, therefore? And the answer is, Munbaz would say, Kigen Shogeg Mekorban. The case is, his Shogeg was he didn't know that what he's doing is going to make him Chayv in a Korban. So let's say, for example, according to Munbaz, if he, for example, we're talking about Melachos of Shabbos over here, so he knows that today is Shabbos, he knows that this particular Melacha is also on Shabbos, but he doesn't realize that if he does it, he's going to have to bring a korban. Munbaz would call that shogeg. The Rabbanon shigas korban lo shmo shogeg. Whereas the Rabbanon, meaning Rabbi Akiva, would say that the being shogeg on the fact that you don't know the korban is not that you don't know you have to bring a korban is not considered a shogeg. So therefore, you have two different definitions of shogeg. You have Rabbi Akiva's definition, which the Gemara is here calling Rabbanon, because halacha is like Rabbi Akiva, versus Munbaz's. According to Rabbi Akiva, you have, when he's doing the maisa itself, it has to be that he doesn't know it's osir. The fact that he knows that it's osir and is not and doesn't know it's chayav karban is not enough to make it considered a shogeg. That, according to Rabbi Akiva, would be considered mezid, so he's not bringing a karban for that. according to Munbaz, it would be. And then you have the similar machlokas about if he didn't know to begin with, if he was a Tinek Shanishma, where Munbaz would call him an onus. So in other words, to break it down so far, according to Munbaz, Tinek Shanishma is onus, and not knowing right now that it's osur, but he knew previously, would be shogig, and also knowing right now that it's osur, but not knowing, it's chayv a korban, would also be shogig. And maybe it would be if he also knows that it makes him chayv in a korban. Whereas according to Rabbi Akiva, tinik shenishba would be chayv, one chatos, like Rav and Shmuel said before. Knowing it and not knowing it at the time is the classic case of shogeg. Everybody agrees he's bringing a chatas for it. But knowing right now that it's osur would make him amazed even if he didn't know that he's chayv a korban for it. Okay. So we'll continue with the discussion tomorrow and work out more about the details of what shogeg and the definition of shogeg and amazed according to the different opinions.
Shikaiah.
Yeah.
Have a wonderful day.
Thanks.